Welcome to Awakenings Movement Podcast. Awakenings Movement is a community where dreamers become believers and believers become doers.
Why won't we knock? Why won't we knock on the door of new opportunity? It's not rhetorical. Why is that? Just throw it out here. We're used to doors not being opened. Uncertainty. Starvation? Rejection. Responsibility. Comfort. Past hurt. All of those things are true. And it's also true that Channing just won a scholarship to go to Kincaid. Yay, Channing! 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 Full scholarship because she's super duper smart and super duper wonderful. She's an amazing girl. All of those things are true. I believe that we don't knock on new doors because we are afraid of how the door will be answered. You ever, fellas, have you ever knocked on a door for a potential new date, right? Have you ever asked somebody to go with you, with W-I-T, you? Y'all remember that little that love letter, right? It had three boxes. It had like a statement to accompany each box. One box, yes. Last box, no. Right smack in that, in the middle was what?
Maybe.
You ever got that no or that maybe?
No.
Yeah, you lying. We are afraid of how the answer on the other side of the door will resonate through the closed door. We are afraid of a no. We imagine a no before we even what? Knock. But the Bible says knock. Your job is not to be responsible for how people respond, but to knock. And knock the hell out of the doors God has called you to knock on. Knock till heaven falls on your fro. Knock. Seek. Ask. Here's the call. The story of destiny is in your disability. Now you. Her name is Seba, and we've decided that we're going to begin to feature the stories in our community as a part of how we teach and share. And so we're going to weave people's personal stories of trial and triumph, of brokenness and beauty into the fabric of every teaching. And throughout the week, it's going to be our continuum. In the middle of the week, you're going to be able to return to the lesson taught on Sunday through the narratives that people share. I love how Seba said, I called it something different. It may not have felt like something different. Probably feels like a seizure. But she decided to stand face to face and toe to toe and chest to chest, chin to chin with uncertainty. And call what some people call a disease something different. I want to say right now, Seba Suber, I am so proud of you and so grateful for your life. And thank you so much for continuing to open the door even when your body tells you to close it. You are a gift to this community. There's never been a you. There'll never be another you. There's something for you to do in the world that no one else can do. And if you don't do it, I pray that your pinky toe falls off. Y'all give it up for Seba Suber. Yeah. Such a good question. How do we listen differently? You see, Seba listens differently to what she hears, even from even her own body. Stop listening to the no and hear the divine yes. Even when people say no, there's a divine yes woven into the fabric of the no. I think that God has divinely placed something in us. It's a part of the DNA of who God is for us to be imaginative. It was imaginative for God to take a blob of nothingness and turn it into the complicated yet beautiful earth, the system, the ecosystem that we live on right now, right? We're living on something that's revolving around another complete body. God had imagination. It is time for us to take responsibility for our imagination and put our imagination to better use. In fact, we have to transform the sound machine of a past no. Now, I bought this on my own. This is my own thing. I did not steal it from Regina like I do most things. This is what I bought. And, I think you can hear it. And I love this machine. It's called the sound machine. And the sound machine has, like, different noises on it. And so it has, like, a bomb. It has, like, poots. Yes. It has clapping. I stole it from Regina because from time to time when I hear a, I use my imagination and I pull this machine out and I hear this. Good job, Marlon. You're doing your best, buddy. Hang on in there, right? Listen for how God is applauding when critics are appalled. Let me let you know something. If your dream was to be easily accessible to every human being's frame of reference, why would God then say, God will do exceedingly and abundantly above anything you can ever think, ask, or what? Imagine. Your dream should be so lofty that people can't reach them with their own intellectual reference. Listen for how God wants you when no one else does. Oh my God. Have you ever felt like no one wanted you? When every relationship sounds like this? When really you want to hear this when you walk into the room? When we hear the bah-bah, we have to hear the drum roll. The divine drum roll. When you hear the bomb, hear the drum roll. When you hear the light bulb, go off. God is wanting to do something even in the midst when other people are laughing. Turn to John chapter 20. I love this scripture. Oh my God, dude. Jesus did not bar doors. It says this, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And he said this and he showed them his hands. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw. Then Jesus told them, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not and yet believe. Guess what? Do you know who those people are? You. I mean, I'm not saying it was easy for the disciples, right? Because their lives were literally threatened. What I am saying is that what Jesus said is true, no matter what. And you are the people who have not touched him. You have not put your fingers in the hole. God set this statement up for you. You are the one that God was speaking to when he said, greater will your faith be when you haven't even seen him. The disciples called the door locked. But Jesus saw something different. You know, Walter, there are moments when you put up posts like about your music and about your work and about what you're doing. And I've gone to some of your shows, and your shows are good. Walter has an amazing Prince impression, by the way. Walter does splits. He can twist. He plays a guitar. I don't know if you play as many instruments as Prince, but you could do it. But for me, do you recognize maybe that life is too short for you to not live out your greatest potential? And man, for that, I just want to celebrate you for being an imagineer of your faith and putting it to work, right? And for you, when I think about you, do I think about this statement. The divine life is too short to be lived meaninglessly, right? That may be true. Or this is sometimes true for you too, Walter, because sometimes some of them post, I'd be like, can Walter please stop posting? Or this is true in other times. Any moment lived without meaning is too goddamn long. Maybe life is too short to not live meaningfully, but maybe a meaningless life and any moment in it is just too long. Have you ever lived too long in a meaningless relationship? It feels a bit like this room. You just suffocate, ain't you? Don't imagine critics, my friend. Before you create what's critical, knock. Well, Marlon, how do we knock on new doors when we still hear the echoes of past no's? Thank you so much for asking that. There's this amazing article written by Susan Gregory Thomas. It's called The Story Editing to Prevent a Downward Spiral. And it's this amazing philosophy. And what it is called narrative identity theory, that says that how we narrate our lives in many ways can interpret and inform our personality. She says this: we are the stories we tell, and we are compelled to create stories to understand ourselves. She also wrote this: life stories do not simply reflect personality, they what? How you tell your story informs not how you live alone, but who you are. Life stories do not simply reflect personality. They are personality. Change how you tell stories and you will change your personality. How do you do that, Marlon? I want to talk about one thing today and we're going to go home. You do that to rewrite the story. You have to rewrite the story. You must prompt a reckoning. What does that mean? That means that there is a reckoning in every horrible situation. The call: I can't change the past, you, but God has changed. You cannot change the past, but you can change how it affects you. And you can change how it affects you through your personality, and you can inform your personality by how you tell the story of what happened. In fact, I double dog dare you not to tell the story the same way of how someone stabbed you in the back again. And you'll discover that you become a better person as a result of the wound rather than a person who's bitter as a result of the wound. Together, let's say this together. Ready? It happened for me, not to me. What if? What if every single thing that happened to you, every single door that slammed in your face, right, just presented an opportunity for God to reveal to you something different at another location? Because 9 times out of 10, if someone slammed the door in your face and you tried to force your way in and you could not get in, meaning you tried your very best to pursue your plan and your purpose if you had a plan. And I'm not telling you that you should give up on your plans. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that when you work yourself to the fullest extent of a particular plan and it still does not work, maybe God is telling you there's a new work somewhere else. Mark chapter 2, verse 4 says this: a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. They gathered in such a large number that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing a paralyzed man carried by four men. I love that these men rewrote the story. The house not only has a blocked door, they said, it also has a rooftop entrance. In fact, theologically speaking, theologians and anthropologists have worked together to discern that this happening, the fact that the door was so clogged up and made it so that they had to pull the man in through the roof, was the very first anthropologically dated experience where there was a moonroof. It was the very first moonroof. And anthropologists have dated, they've gone back to the ancient time. I'm lying. That girl, Seba, later on in the podcast, when you listen to it, when you get home, she says, I am not a disease. She refuses to be called, right, what she's going through. She calls what she's going through. And because she calls what she's going through, it changes who she is as she's going through it. She is not a disease. I began the interview by saying, so Seba, how do you deal with this disease? She said, hold up, Slim. She said, this is not a disease. I was like, well, what is it? She was like, I don't know what it is, but it's something else. How many times have you refused to allow someone to call you something that may apparently be true, but not true for your personality? Because your personality is informed by your story. The personality of these men was woven into the fabric of their desire to develop a new plan of entrance. How willing are you to develop a new plan of entrance? I dare tell you that the new plan of entrance begins with a new story. You have to tell yourself a better story to yourself about what's happening around you and inside of you. But here's the thing to beware of. Beware of villainy in the prompt. Now, we live in a pronoun-centric culture. iTunes, MySpace, Facebook, my Facebook, right? And so I do understand that when it comes to the way that some doors are slammed in my face, we need to find somebody to blame, right? It's somebody's fault. Like, it's not my fault. It ain't God's fault. It's somebody's fault that I'm not living my fullest life, right? We often create villains before we create, friends. Sometimes before we even approach the door of creativity to create a new life, we've already created someone who's an antagonist to the protagonist that God has placed in us, which is our divine purpose. Too many of my critics are my imagination. There are far too many critics in your head than there are critics in your world. Why not do this? Envision creating what you'll love before imagining who'll hate it. Envision creating what you'll love before imagining who'll hate it. I can't hold on. This is the last idea. I got to get this thing out. Sorry. Podcast. It's hot. Sorry. Marlon. How do I do that? Man, you guys ask amazing questions. You guys are brilliant. I had no idea you were going to ask that either. Rewrite the story by allowing Christ to rewrite wrongs. You see, the reality is that I can't change the past. Your response? But God has changed. Together? Ready? Read. My mistakes are the crap that fertilize my future. The reality is that many of us create and project these false villains because we have internalized the villain. And we feel that we are responsible for our own failure so greatly that we are even afraid to be responsible for our own greatness. I love in Mark chapter 2, verse 4, like what happened in the end of the story? Once they finally got the man in, they lowered the man down. Jesus healed him, but Jesus said something really weird, right? It was so weird. Jesus said, their faith, he said, the paralyzed man's son, your sins are forgiven. Jesus didn't know this man from the man in the moon. How do you know that man was sinning? You know what I mean? How do you know? You see, he knew that because of some of the social conditioning at the time, that due to incantation, like people assume that because you were sick, that you had done something wrong. You did something wrong to get sick. God is punishing you. So Jesus made a public declaration of this man's goodness that was inherent in him. And he declared that his sins would no longer limit God's potential in his life. Well, guess what? The same is true of you. You believe that there are things that are still attached to you that are connected to how you failed in the past, but they are not, my friends. There is nothing weighing you down from the weightless, limitless potential that God has woven into the fabric of your story. I double dog dare you to say this. Let's read it. Ready? Read. This won't keep me. You have to be able to rewrite your narrative, and in the face, even of facing the villain, the worst villain, that is you, you have to say, no, no, no. My child, my sins are forgiven, and I am free to walk, to run, to live again. In fact, this won't keep me from doing what God wills. What are you in right now that makes you believe that you are being kept from what God wills? Do you believe that it's your own past indiscretion? Do you believe this indiscretion of others? I double dog dare you to respond to the gospel that says, knock. And maybe the door that you imagined won't be open, but God will do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond anything that you can ever ask, think, or imagine. Now, this is what I know is true of all of you. Like, 9 times out of 10, all y'all could have gone to a regular church somewhere. You did not have to come to an artist's loft. You certainly didn't have to stay in the heat. There isn't a reason that you came here, and that reason makes you unique to every other person in the city of Houston, dare I say, in the in the nation, dare I say on the globe, dare I say in the history of humankind, you came here for a specific purpose that is unorthodox because you sit right now in an unorthodox seat. We got them seats from IKEA. We did not get them from online church site. You were born, my friends, to knock when and where no one else is willing. You were born to not hear no's as no's, but not listen for how you're wrong, but listen to how God has made things right. Knock, my friends, and a door will be opened unto you. And I double dog dare you to believe that the door that opens up won't be to some limited four-walled living room. God wants to open a door to a green pasture that you can run in, a green pasture that has bodies of still water, that you can look into the still water and see a reflection of who you truly are and allow your soul to be restored. Knock, and the door will be opened.